But you know about the dead people, right?
I saw a lot of that out on the loading dock, even tossed down the stairwell.
Not the ones they put down, the walkers. They were saying on the news some kind of virus.
Things got crazy.
Man, you won't believe the panic. The broadcast stopped. And that was the last we heard.
My wife and son, they're alive.
I think they got out of here. They're in Atlanta.
Why there?
Military protection, shelter, food. They told people to go there. Said they were working out how to solve this thing.
Atlanta sounds like a good deal.
Listen, one thing. They may not seem like much one at a time, but in a group, all hungry.
Man, you watch your ass.
Welcome back, everyone, to this 41st episode of Through the Aftermath. I'm your host, Sean, and with me once again is Jonathan. How you doing there, Jonathan?
Good. Now that we got this generator working, we weren't sure, like, it's been cloudy the last couple days. We weren't sure if we were going to get the radio station transmitting, but I've been sitting here on this little hand crank turning this thing for about the last 14 hours.
Well, you know, I think it worked because now we have the iTunes feed is back.
Yeah, no, it is. The iTunes feed came back. I must have fixed it. It must have been short-circuited off of the radar dish.
I think actually what happened is one of those raiders we killed, I think he was laying on the cord, and I think he kinked it. And, you know, I mean, you know, the internet is a series of tubes, and, you know, when you kink one of those tubes, that's it. That's just, you know.
So. It's true. Like, if right now as I'm talking to you, if I squeeze this cord, like, you won't hear anything, but if I let it go, it'll sound like I'm talking really fast.
That's how that works. I always wonder.
It works great in churches.
Well, so awesome. What we're going to do in this show is we're going to talk about the hit series that's sweeping the nation and the world, actually, is The Walking Dead. And, you know, we've mentioned it before in the show, but now it's actually out. It actually, what's funny is it released on Halloween, which is a couple days after our last episode. So on AMC, the series is released, and it's just a mega, mega hit. You know, it's something that has just been so popular. Everybody's talking about it, and so we said, you know what, we need to talk about this on the next episode. I think it would be very timely. So that's what we're going to talk about. I mean, there are only two episodes out right now. The third one is coming this Sunday. And this should be out before that. But two episodes, we have a teaser that we've seen from episode 3 that's on their website. There are 6 episodes in the season, so, you know, we're almost halfway through. And they've already talked about being picked up for a second season of 13 more episodes. So, I mean, it's already just snowballing, you know, the popularity of this. And I'm really excited about it. And, you know, not only are we going to talk about it here as kind of an introduction to that series, I'm sure at some point down the line we're going to be talking about it again, especially maybe after the series, the season is done, we can talk about it, something like that. But before we do that, we have a little bit of news we want to talk about, right?
Yep, just a little bit of news coming out. Actually, some rather large things all at once. First up is, you know, for those of you who've been patiently waiting for the Fallout New Vegas bugs to get fixed, we've started to see the patches really roll out. Like PC side, you know, we've got a couple of mini patches, but in the last week or so, they've released the mega patch, as it were, the one that was, I guess there was a problem with the quick saves, which like, it's one of those like, well, why not just put a gun to your head and shoot it? Because, you know, that things like quick save bugs are a nightmare. I actually ran into that once, and I guess I'm probably the one guy in the world that would be like, my game's erased. Oh yes, that means I get to start again, you know. But I do know some friends who had that happen on the Xbox version, and they were not quite as pleased as I was.
Yeah.
So This, I think the 360 version, the patches should be coming out in the next week or so. But that's good to see. Like I said, you know, it's, you know, the original Fallout 2 devs. So, yeah, the bugs, you know, the original Fallout 2 devs. So,
yeah. I felt kind of bad. I stopped playing it because I was playing it at one point. I think I mentioned last time I had that bug where I had to restart, even at the tutorial. And then I played again for a little while, and I got up to a certain point, and it just wouldn't save. And it just screwed me up. And I was like, you know what? I know there's a patch going to come. You know, the patch is coming, so I'm just going to wait. So Fable 3 came out. I started playing the heck out of that, and I'm almost like I don't. I'm going to act like Fallout didn't come out yet. I'm just gonna wait till that patch comes out, and then I'm gonna be like, oh, hey, Fallout New Vegas came out. I think I'm gonna play it now.
You know, and there's nothing wrong with that either.
Yeah. It's just I have other things to kind of keep me busy, but I have it in the back of my mind. I keep saying, you know, I can't wait until that patch comes out, because then I'm just gonna, you know, get into the game hardcore again. But I just there's just nothing more frustrating than playing, getting into it, and then having these bugs that just make it unplayable,
especially on that game, because that game is so random. I mean, you could find yourself wandering out the beaten path and go, I don't even know what I just did. And the good thing too is they threw in some performance fixes that were substantial performance fixes. Like, I remember walking, you know, I'd walk downtown Vegas and I'd be like, can't barely walk, you know, at times, you know. And then now it's like you walk around and everything's just solid, and I'm like, wow, that's not, you know. Now Bethesda, you know, they're not necessarily, you know, I say this carefully, they're not the most well-known for performance fixes sometimes. They're just kind of like, you know, main things. And, you know, to see a performance fix that heavy-duty was like, oh, my gosh, that's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was, you know, as far as that side of things, it was it's kind of a rocky road, which, you know, that happened with Fallout 3, like you said, you know, and so we just kind of wait and see. And, you know, once we start getting into it, and we mentioned this last time, once we start getting into the game a lot more, we can talk about it. But we're still kind of reserving that a little bit.
Yes. So. We're saving that for the episode to end all episodes.
Yeah. And then, of course, there was the bad news about Fallen Earth. They laid off three more employees. Now, back in April, they laid off a bunch of employees, a bunch of the staff, and actually quite a bit of the staff. I think they had 110 people, and they went down to, like, I forgot, like 28 or something like that. They laid off a lot of people, and then they just laid off three more. And the reason this is so important is those three were huge, like huge parts of the game. I mean, there was Jessica Orr, who was the main marketing person. And then there was Dave Hadish, also known as Archangel in the game and on the forums. And Dave, he has been like the main dude. You know, he writes the state of the game. He goes to all the events. You know, E3, GDC, all these places. It's really hard to see like them go. Wes Platt was the other one. Wes Platt has been kind of a content developer and writer, you know, in the game, and he has been just huge. You know, they're all well known in the forums. It's sad news. I mean, it's sad news when anybody loses their jobs, but you know, it's kind of suspicious and a little scary that such, you know, people at such a high level in the company were let go.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Like, my first vibe would be, oh, you know, something's going down. But in this case, it almost really did seem like they just decided, like, sorry, you know, to cover expenses, we're going to have to get rid of some of the high level, better paid people. And, you know, unfortunately, in this particular case, that may not be a good idea. But, I mean, it's, I don't know, I don't get the vibe yet that the game is, like, they really are seeming to be, dare I say, surviving, you know, in the wasteland, as it were. No, I don't get the impression that anything, you know, is like, oh, that's it, you know, 0 hour, the game's over. But, you know, we don't like to see stuff like that, and, you know.
Yeah, it's sad. I mean, and we talked about this over at Massively. You know, we wrote a post about it, and a lot of the comments were like, hey, you know, that's sad news because I really enjoy this game, or you know, I just got into this game with a free trial promotions that they've had, and I really am surprised at how great of a game it is. And I just wish more people would you know, check it out at least and see if it's for them, because I think that it gets a little niche, you know, where you kind of have to like post-apocalyptic, and you have to like MMOs, and you have to like a sandbox game, and you have to like, you know, all these different variables that play into the type of people who really love this. And it just so happens to be, you know, me and you are the exact people who love these types of game. I mean, that's the game I was telling you before. That's the one game that I play every week consistently with a group of friends. You know, I don't really have a lot of time to play too many other games consistently, but that's the one that I play every week. And it'd be really sad if something happened to it. I could speculate all day, but I mean, free to play, that's always an option. And I would hope that would happen before like a shutdown or anything like that, but I don't know. I mean, we're speculating here. We haven't heard anything about any of this, but I do know that a state of the game is supposed to be coming out next week.
Next week, yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully the state of the game will come out and we'll be able to hear, you know, about their plans, what they're going to do. Marie Kroll, I think she was actually above Wes and Dave Hadish, and she has kind of taken over the role now, and so I guess, you know, she's going to be doing the state of the game now, and so we'll get to see what she has to say.
So. Yeah. Hopefully we'll get some insight, and, you know, I am always curious. That's one game where, you know, not to say MMOs have been kind of of late. I mean, they you know, we've just, you know, we're just seeing kind of this, we're in kind of this, like, slow mode where a lot of the stuff we're waiting for are still on the horizon a little bit, but it'd be nice to see. That's one game where I'm like, it sure would be nice to see this game, you know, continue to do some pretty wild stuff, because what they've done really well, so.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah. So, we'll see how that kind of pans out, but.
Yeah.
So, what about, was there any other news? I don't think there was there?
No, not directly related, but, except for the new, not directly related, oh, God, go check out the newest, the third and newest Tron trailer. Oh my gosh, even though that's not necessarily related to, you know, post-apocalyptic. Oh man. Wow. I'm excited for that.
Good
one
stuff.
But yeah, there is one other little bit of news, and for those of you who haven't already seen these commercials, as far as not directly post-apocalyptic, there is the movie Skyline comes out this Friday, and so, you know, Alien Invasion, which anybody else out there put their hand up in the air and go, you know, that looks a lot like the game Crysis. Every alien in that, I'm like, wait, that's Crysis. But no, it's it is kind of cool. I do dig alien invasion stories a ton, so
cool. It'll
be cool. Yeah.
Cool. Sounds good. Well, cool. Let's go ahead and get into the main topic then. The Walking Dead. Now, this is, like I mentioned, this is a TV series that just started on Halloween. Episode 1 came out then, and then there was the new episodes come out every Sunday. So we had one on the 7th of November, and the next one will be on the 14th, and they come out at 10 o'clock Eastern. I don't know. I know that it is shown worldwide. Actually, I think they say it's shown in 120 countries, which is pretty cool. They said that the debut was simultaneous in 120 countries, and this is a giant campaign that they did to kind of get everyone ready for it. And we've actually known about this series for a long time. You know, they've done a lot of hype about it. They actually had a zombie walk, which is kind of funny, on, I think it was the week before Halloween. They had 26 major cities, including like Taipei, Hong Kong, Los Angeles, and they had zombies, you know, people dressed as zombies walking through the cities to kind of promote this series, which I think is hilarious. I mean, I can't think of the last time anything like that's ever been done to promote a TV series, you know.
Yeah.
It's crazy. but so they've been promoting the heck out of it, and then they at Comic-Con, in this year's Comic-Con, they actually showed the I think it was the trailer
teaser.
Yeah, the teaser trailer they showed at Comic-Con. So it got a lot of people excited then. And here we are. You know, it's finally out, and we get to see it. And people are just going nuts over it. They're absolutely loving it. And so essentially what it is, let's kind of sum it up. Without, you know, we don't want to give too many spoilers because it is new and it is, you know, just starting out. And I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who haven't watched it yet. But essentially what it is there's this guy. He's a sheriff's deputy for King County, Georgia, which is near Atlanta, and he like the beginning of it, you know, it's kind of before the zombie apocalypse, and he gets shot. He goes into like a coma. He goes in the hospital, and he wakes up, and he's kind of confused because all the, you know, the power's off, and there are these flowers that were being brought to him by his friend, his partner, and they're all dried up and like shriveled up. So he's like, "Whoa, you know, what's going on here?" He goes out in the hallway, and there's, you know, mess everywhere. And then he notices at one point there's like someone that looks half eaten sitting in the hallway. All these little clues kind of pop up that there is something kind of crazy going on with zombies, you know. But he doesn't really just go out and say, "Oh, zombies." Eventually, he finds his way through. You know, he's kind of drifting around looking for kind of what's going on. There's body bags everywhere, and there's destruction and army vehicles, and you know, the buildings are all blown up, and it looks crazy. It looks like there was a kind of a minor battle going on, and there was, you know, all these, like I said, body bags lined up. And he eventually finds some zombies who are definite zombies, and he finds, now what I thought was crazy is that, you know, the scene where he finds the bike,
mm-hmm.
and there's that like half woman laying there, dude. And she's like crawling with their arms. That is some of the most incredible special effects I've seen in a long time, because like her
intestines are hanging out.
Yeah, and like her leg bone is dragging off to the side, and oh, it was so freaky. Like they did the effects on this, the makeup effects, just brilliant. I mean, it was some of the grossest stuff I've ever seen. And actually, we'll talk about this in a second, but episode 2 is one of the goriest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, episode 2 is bad. It is even worse.
Yeah. So essentially, you know, without going too much farther into this, it's essentially this guy, you know, he's a sheriff's deputy. He finds out that he's one of the last people left on Earth, and he kind of gets together with these other people. Eventually, you know, they find each other, and they're making their way through the zombie apocalypse. Now, some main things to notice here are, number one, we don't know why there's a zombie apocalypse. You know, we don't know where
it came from. Yeah, we still haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah, and another thing is he actually does meet some people. And the first people he meets, it's kind of funny, the guy, Lenny James is the guy's name.
Hawkins.
Robert Hawkins from Jericho.
Yep.
He meets him and his son in the movie, in the series, and it's like, oh, hey, it's almost like a little cameo, because actually, you know, I looked it up on IMDb, and he doesn't show up in any other episodes, at least this season.
Oh, I wonder, because his character, you can tell they're fleshing out his character already. Like, everybody seems to have a backstory.
Yeah. So I imagine, I mean, Lenny James is enough of a star, you know, to where I think we're going to see him again.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. He's too perfect to not have.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's essentially it. And this whole thing is based on a comic series. And the guy who wrote the comic series is actually working on the series as well, this TV series. So it works together well. You know, and a lot of people were saying that, you know, if this isn't done by the same guy, let me see, what's his name? His name is Frank Darabont. Yeah.
And you know who he is, of course.
No.
Frank Darabont is the guy who is well known for creating all the Stephen King movies. He did The Mist, The Shawshank Redemption, and The Green Mile.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, this guy's a big dog. When I heard he was involved, that's when my hand went up and I went, okay, it'll be good.
That's awesome.
Yeah, the guy's a genius.
Yeah, oh, okay. So he's the one actually kind of adapting this to television from the comic.
Yes.
And the comic was done by Robert Kirkman, Tony Moore, and Charlie Adlard. And so they're the ones that did the comic, and then Frank Darabont is the one who is adapting it for TV. So, so that's why, I mean, these are, of course, some, you know, recognizable names that are getting together to make this. So yeah, that's awesome. I'm really excited about the talent behind this.
Yeah, they definitely got the talent, and the good thing is, and this was a concern of mine, not that I didn't think, because I'll tell you what, the one thing I know is that AMC doesn't mess around. I mean, one of my favorite shows on television is Breaking Bad, and I've seen them do some amazing stuff, you know, in probably a lower budget environment, but, that, you know, when I saw the first episode, I already knew, okay, they've got the budget to make this good, because they've already, just in the first two episodes, it's like, how did you do that, you know, kind of stuff, and...
Yeah, those effects are amazing. It's I haven't seen, I know I've said this before, but I don't have cable. So I haven't seen episode 2 yet, but I've seen episode 1 because they have it on Hulu. Hulu's actually showing it until, I think, the 14th. I think until this Sunday. So if you hear this, definitely, you know, and you haven't seen it yet, jump over to Hulu and watch that first episode. But you've seen episode 2, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, and you've said that episode 2 is a lot better than episode 1. So it,
you know, and it was amazing. Episode 1 was amazing, but yeah, episode 2, just when you think it couldn't get better, oh, good heavens. Yeah. Yeah, it's brilliantly done. I mean, it's the one thing is, too, it's you can tell that they're not trying to give you too much too fast. Like, a lot of shows feel compelled to shove as much story as they can in the first, you know, episode or two, and it's usually because they have an episode to hook you. And then the fact that they chose not only to not do that, but the way that they're giving you the story is incredibly well done because, you know, anybody who's already seen this will back me on this. They're taking something that's is not only cliche, it's way cliche. I mean, they're going – one of my first questions I had watching the show was, too, is are they going to go with the 28 Days Later style? Are they going to go with the typical Dawn of the Dead style? And, of course, they are. They're going with the Dawn of the Dead style with their own little twists. But they are doing cliche in an incredibly fresh way.
Yeah,
almost
yeah.
like you felt like you've never really seen it like this.
Well, I know one of the issues that a lot of people are bringing up, and I think this is funny, is the fact that the zombies seem a little bit more intelligent. You know, they pick up rocks. You know, they hit windows with the rocks. They do things like that. That a lot of people, kind of zombie purists, are like, hey, you know, why would they be able to do that? And like, there's one scene. I don't think I'm really giving anything away here, but there's one scene where Lenny James, you know, his family, him and his son are in this house, kind of holed up in this house, and the zombies are outside, and they say that the mother, you know, his wife actually turned into a zombie, and they looked out the window, and she's still kind of pacing around, and she walks
up to
the door.
Yeah, like she's retaining something.
Yeah, and she walks up to the door, and she kind of just stands there. Like she is retaining, exactly, she's retaining something, and she thinks like, well, this is where I belong, this is the house, even though it's not technically their house because they actually found it from someone else, but that's where she died.
Yeah.
So that's it's almost like they're hinting at some type of a higher intelligence for these zombies, more than just, you know, lumbering around, you know, sniffing around for people, you know, to eat.
Yeah.
So I think that's an important part that some people have been kind of upset about it. And I say this, you know, based on what I've read in forums. And forums are always kind of pretty negative anyway. So I think that should be taken with a grain of salt. But it's there. You know, it's still the argument that some people are making. Like, why are they picking up rocks? Why is this happening? Well, I think it'll have a probably deeper meaning later.
Well, in episode 2, they start to – it almost kind of goes the other way. Like, it's a little twist of their own that they add in the second one of how smart they could be or not be. And you know what? The purists – the one thing about the purists that I'm kind of concerned, because I've heard that too. They're like, oh, they shouldn't be able to do that. And I'm like, well, actually, in the old ones, the old Romero movies, at least in the remake, you know, one of the things that they said is, you know, why are all these – you know, it was in Dawn of the Dead. They said, why are all these people coming to the mall like this? And they said, you know, we have no idea. It could be that they're retaining some kind of fragment of their memory, like a latent memory from before they were dead, and that they felt drawn to it for that reason. And that's literally why I thought, okay, he picked up a rock. I'll bet he didn't even know why he picked up the rock, because it may have been a latent memory, just like the mother.
Yeah, I mean, even in the original Dawn, Night of the Living Dead, one of the zombies picks up a table leg and starts hitting the door or the house with it. So, I mean, you know, there we have the very first zombie movie, and you know, George Romero kind of put that in there, so it's not like it's not allowed, you know.
Yeah, so. Exactly. It's just a little, the purists, it's almost like you want to look at them and go, well, I appreciate you being purist, but you know, oh, that's right, you were in a zombie apocalypse, so you know, I forgot. You know, no, but they do this well. This is it's they're doing a very good job of skirting that border, but doing it in a fresh way.
Yeah, I mean, I anticipate those little things are going to come out later. You know, it's kind of like Lost, where all these crazy things happen at the beginning, and then we don't find out about it until 7 years later. Hopefully, not that long.
and you bleed out your ears from it. Yeah.
But I'm excited about how this will, pardon the expression, flesh out.
That was well done. I you get 10 points for that one.
But it's pretty interesting so far. A lot of people are going nuts over it. You know, they're saying, I mean, I heard so many people, I didn't see it until a couple of days after Halloween, but so I didn't think I could see it actually, but so many people were like, you have to check this out. Like, this is something you absolutely have to see. And then I said, well, I don't have cable. And they're like, well, go on Hulu. It's right there. So that's how I was able to see it. Yeah. They've said, I don't know if they're going to have the rest of the episodes on Hulu. I don't think they are.
I hope they do, because they'd be fools not to. That'd be crazy.
I'm sure I'll find it somewhere on the internet, but I would like to watch it.
Yeah, they had the highest viewership. I guess they outdid a lot of the other shows that were supposed to be the big dog shows of the season. Yeah. They outdid viewership on all of them. Like, it was the top viewed show, I should say, that premiere episode especially, which is huge.
Yeah.
They're really doing a good job on the shows. The AMC's kind of really trying to take the reins on that.
Yeah, that's cool. I never really thought of them as kind of a, you know, premier network like that.
Yeah. But,
you know, that's pretty cool, yeah. I'm excited.
Yeah.
So I guess going into even season two, I mean episode two and episode three, now there's a little teaser for episode three on the website, and it kind of shows a little bit more about the relationships. There's some really... again, I don't want to give anything away, but there's some crazy stuff going on in there that really confuses me about kind of the main character and his wife and kid, and his best friend, who is his partner, who even in episode one we find out that he's still alive, the partner, and it's kind of this confusing love triangle kind of thing that it's almost, I don't know. I mean, you got to have that kind of stuff in these because you can't just have zombies walking around, you know, the whole episode. So, I understand that it's there, but it's like, it's so irritating because it's like, why are they doing this? You know, why is this happening?
Yeah. Well, you know, I have a theory, and I'm going to put this on a soft spoiler alert here because it deals with the first episode. I'm guessing most of us who are listening to this have probably already seen the first episode or have tried. And if not, just momentarily tune this out. No, yeah. I actually have a theory on this, and it's a minor one. It's not a huge spoiler, but it's my theory of what I think is going on there, because you're right. What they're doing there is like, what are you doing to my mind here? Because you can tell it's his wife. It appears to be it's his wife and his friend, and there seems to be something very strange going on there. And I remember my buddy Rob was like, wow, all it took was a zombie apocalypse to make that fall apart. Yeah. And I put my hand in the air and said, actually, here's a thought, theory, pure theory right now. You'll notice in the very first episode, he was talking about having had problems with his wife, and his friend seemed to be very much in, you know, wanting to know what was going on, almost like his wife had been having an affair and he didn't know it yet.
Yeah.
And perhaps this relationship had been going on before he got shot.
Yeah, I think that's probably what happened.
He's a complete bastard. That's the other option.
Yeah, because it's either that or it just happened all of a sudden and you know, it's anarchy. It's sexual,
I guess,
anarchy.
That's all it takes. You know, it's not, yeah, that's all it took. And all of a sudden we had degraded ourselves to the lowest common denominator. That's all it was.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, 8 days later, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are things like that. And well, one of the things actually that kind of excited me is the first episode, at least, and the second episode, from what I saw they have some teaser clips on the website that I watched. But it looks like a lot of it is filmed in Atlanta. And mm-hmm. What's funny is I actually recognized a lot of places from Dragon Con, because Dragon Con is right in downtown Atlanta. So I'm thinking to myself, this is kind of a funny little connection here, because I've actually walked around in those same areas with my post-apocalyptic suit on. and it's like, and here it is, there's this movie being filmed and there's zombies walking around in that same area. And I'm like, hey.
Oh, which is the second one?
It's like this crazy connection there. Yeah, I didn't. I want to see that because I know that it's supposed to be a lot more in downtown Atlanta.
Yeah.
And from what I've seen, even the clips here and there, I watched a making of, and I watched a couple other ones, and it's like, oh, I've been on that corner, you know, I've been right there, I've been to that restaurant, you know, and it's so funny because anyone from Atlanta, or at least from the area, and who've gone to Dragon Con or, you know, been to Atlanta a lot, you'll recognize a lot of downtown.
Well, and it's what's cool too is about it is like the environments are good. The cast, I mean, it's funny because it took me a second. There's some characters in the second one, and if you watch the trailer, you can already pick up who it is, like Michael Rooker, who is in just about everything that you can find. Like when you see him, you're going to tag at least two movies. You won't be able to remember what they all are, but you'll know you've seen him before. Like I remember him the most from the movie Mallrats, that Kevin Smith movie. He was the evil father, you know.
But, yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, and then of course there's a character from the third episode, and you just watched this trailer, so you'll see it. The trailer from the third one, it showed another character that comes into play, and it's the kid from who's one of the brothers in Boondock Saints, which incredible movie by the way. But he played Scud in Blade 2. He was the little punk kid who was with Blade all the time and was always half smoking and half asleep at every given moment. So he plays into it. And then the chick, there's a chick in the second episode who is the cop from Silent Hill.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's in it. And you're the other people, they didn't seem like I didn't had tagged them, but you can tell this has got a – they're not messing around with this cast.
It's, you know, it's almost like the Jericho cast, you know, where it's these people who you've been like, hey, I know I've seen that guy before, you know, like a handful of them, and then a bunch of people who have never been in anything before. So it's kind of like the same caliber of cast, you know.
Yeah.
But it's a great show. I mean, I've enjoyed what I've seen so far. I really can't wait to see the rest. And you know, the main reason we wanted to do this was just to kind of get people into it and you know, make it kind of a discussion thing where we can, you know, get in the comments and talk about, you know, what parts you like here and there. And, you know, email us, let us know certain things you like, and then we can discuss it again at a later time. Maybe, you know, like we said, after the season is over, we can go back and discuss it. I think that would be a good idea.
I think, and everybody seems to like this. Even, okay, no joke, my wife is watching this show with me, even despite the gore. And there's been a couple of moments in the second episode where she's like, oh, God. And I'm like, oh, would you like some food?
Yeah, this from what I saw, now the second episode, isn't it called Guts? Is that the name?
Yeah, actually, that's the irony. I didn't even figure that out till later, and I just started laughing. I was going to say, you know, belly laughing, but that's, anyways. I caught myself on that. Unintentional pun there, but it's entertainment for everybody, and it's everything that I love about these. They seem to have taken a little bit of everything from everything that's cool about the zombie apocalypse, right down to, I mean, let's be honest, in the first episode you're like, hey, this is 28 days later.
Yeah,
but that's good.
Well, even the beginning when it first started, I was like, this is like Day of the Triffids, like where he wakes up in a hospital bed and like the apocalypse happened, and then he's like, hey, what happened?
Yeah, they did it first.
Yeah, it's the exact same thing. And when I saw that, I'm like, I don't know about this. But and then it turned into 28 days later, and it was. But I think it's the delivery, you know, and the effects. Oh my God.
It's so, special effects are second to none, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the zombie makeup and the way, you know, there's a lot of, like, impact, like, let's just say, like shooting or hitting or things like that of zombies, and the way they kind of break apart, and I mean, it's like some really gory stuff, and again, not to give anything away, but the name Guts for that second episode, you know, it's really gory, like really, really gory. Yeah. And it's actually surprising. I don't know how they did it on AMC, but, you know, it seems like something that would be on like Cinemax or, you know, HBO or something. But, it's some pretty incredible stuff, and I'm really excited to see more of it.
Yeah, I can't wait for more.
Yep. Okay, so let's go ahead and get off that topic, and we figured we'd read some emails because we have a couple here we wanted to cover this time. Not a ton, but just enough to make them all in the show this time. This first one says, Dear Through the Aftermath, I was wondering if you had ever talked about the PC game DEF CON on your show. I recently started playing it, and I loved the atmosphere in it that's reminiscent of war games and other nuclear war satires. If you like the post-apocalyptic, you have to cause the atomic apocalypse first by playing DEF CON. I wrote a review on my blog. Please give it a look if you're interested. And he's got a little link there that we will we can put that in the show notes. Also, I just wanted to say that I really like your show. I also like the Online Gamers Anthology, and I miss it. Regards, Charlaxi. Oh, yeah, so you've played that? I've never played DEF CON.
Yeah, it's available on Steam for a rather good price. Yeah, DEF CON, it's very, very war games. I mean, it's you look at the screenshots, and you're practically looking at the NORAD I mean, right down to the little lines that are the incoming warheads. It's done very vector graphic style on purpose. Very well done game. Yeah, they have a couple that are like that. But yeah, no, that one in particular is a gem.
Cool, cool. And that came out a couple years ago, right?
It did. It came out, I almost want to say it was like 3 or 4 years ago, and it's perfect, though, for Steam. I mean, it's just a good little, you know, yeah, play it on the side kind of game.
Cool. Okay, so this next one is, let's see, this is from Terrence. And he says, a movie I would like to add to your scariest movie list is Quarantine.
Oh,
I would call this movie pre-apocalyptic, as the events depicted could easily represent the start of a zombie-type apocalypse. The setup is a female news reporter and her lone cameraman are assigned to do a human interest story on what it is like to work the night shift as a fireman. While on the assignment, the station gets a call to check on a disturbance at an apartment complex. When they arrive, they find a woman who is acting deranged and starts attacking the rescue workers before they can subdue her. Shortly thereafter, the building is locked down and the tenants and rescue teams are trapped inside. All communication is cut off and no one knows what's going on. Things get worse as those injured in the earlier altercation begin to act rabid and start attacking the others, thus spreading the infection from person to person. The rest of the movie deals with the remaining survivors trying to figure out what is going on, stay alive, and escape the building. There are a couple of reasons I feel this movie should be included. First, the entire movie is shot from the point of view of the cameraman's lens. The entire movie is a one-camera shot. Like your I Am Legend example, there are several scenes where there's a lot more going on than you can actually see. The off-camera sounds and brief glimpses of action the lens catches as it moves around, especially during the various zombie attack scenes, it all helps build the terror. Of course, there are the times you begin to wonder why this guy is still carrying the camera and filming, but hey, if he stopped, we'd have no movie, right?
Yeah.
The other thing is that I couldn't help but wonder if the filmmaker was influenced at all by Left 4 Dead. It definitely felt like a movie version of the game, especially the first level in the apartment building. The zombies are actually humans infected in some disease, and while there were no hordes, they were fast-moving and chased after you. But the only scene that really stood out in my mind and made me think Left 4 Dead was at the end of the movie. The remaining survivors encounter a creature that looks and acts a lot like the witch creature from the game. All in all, it wouldn't be a stretch to claim that the outbreak of the infected in Left 4 Dead started in this apartment building.
That's an interesting thought. He's right there. I mean, it really does kind of parallel, and it's interesting to see that as this is how kind of like a precursor to what it would have been.
That's cool, Yeah, I love movies like that. I mean, there are so many of them that are kind of, kind of pre and during this really crazy event. But the ones that are filmed like this, were kind of through the lens of like one camera shot. Now, is it? I haven't seen this movie, but is it like what is that? I guess kind of like Blair Witch Project.
Yes,
or
it's very Blair Witch. Actually, it's very Blair Witch Cloverfield style.
Cloverfield. That's what I was trying to think of.
Yeah. It's not as bouncy in my opinion. I mean, and they do cut shots. They're just very clever. They'll do it in a mid turn or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't feel quite as bouncy as Cloverfield did. Cloverfield for some people was like, but this one is a little more controlled, but it is very much in your face. Like, you're seeing it. If something's going on, they're very clever about keeping camera shots where if something, they peek through the door, you're kind of peering down the hall just like they are and going, ma'am, are you okay? And then you see something down the hall and you're like, whoa, from their point of view.
Yeah.
So it definitely keeps you in the mood of it, what's going on. That's a really good show. I did enjoy that one.
Cool. I'll have to check that out. That's another one I have to add to the list. But, yeah, of course, you know, we were talking about the scary movies on last episode, so that fits right in there.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's see. This last email, actually, this is just a really short short little blurb here, and this is from, this is from Aiken. And he says, first of all, he says, hooray, the iTunes feed is working again. Yeah, we have that iTunes feed working. That was something that Brent helped me with, and and we've explained this probably before, but our host for the files, Libsyn, changed everything over to this new system, and it completely screwed us up, and we had to try to figure out a way to kind of bypass it and go through, so it's all taken care of, and I am so excited. I just hope they don't change anything anymore. Just leave it alone.
Yeah. Stop that!
Anyway, so Aiken, he writes, I'm only slightly into episode 38, but that group you were talking about is Zombie Squad. And that was from the episode we were talking about Dragon Con. And he gives a link to it, and it's zombiehunters.org. And so he says he's going to write more as he catches up. So I look forward to that. And Aiken always writes in some pretty good emails, so I look forward to that. Yeah, those are the only emails we have. That the rest of them are kind of all about people following us on Twitter, which is very, very good news. I usually, you know, like I always say on the end of every show, I tweet about when the new episode comes out. But I also, like this last time, I actually tweeted about this news story I found, which I thought was pretty interesting, about, I won't read the whole thing, but I, you know, if you go and you follow us on Twitter, which is Aftermath Show, twitter.com/aftermathshow, you'll find one of our latest tweets is about this news article about the U.S. not being safe from a nuclear attack. And this is some kind of research that, you know, scientists are finding out that we have this new government strategy for nuclear war. I guess it's under this new thing for Obama, and scientists are saying this isn't going to work. You know, we're still going to get hit. So it's some scary stuff. I mean, you should go there and check out the news article and everything, but it just basically talks about how we can be reached from so many countries who have nuclear missiles, you know, and kind of, you know, what's possible. And, oh, you know, speaking of that, this just reminded me, this is something that I was actually going to talk about on the show and I forgot, but did you hear that news about that ICBM that was fired off the coast of L.A.?
How did I miss this?
Yeah, it was okay. What happened was there's video of it. Like an LA TV station caught video of an ICBM being fired through the sky with, you know, a big chemtrail and everything, and it's just fired straight up. And people are like, "Whoa, what's going on?" And they contacted the news contacted the Navy. They contacted all the military, and no one knows where it came from. The Navy is denying it. The Army, everyone is denying that they fired this. So they don't know where it came from. They don't know what happened. And that's scary. You know, I mean, someone out there is messing around or something. You know, and I mean, there was no explosion. There was no nuclear, you know, explosion anywhere or anything. So they think it was just a test fire. But still, who's doing this, you know?
Yeah, it's probably one of those, like, the government's like, we have no knowledge that we are aware of.
Yeah.
We are not aware of any official statement involving an ICBM that may have gone off exactly 24 seconds ago.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there was actually the news article. I was watching this video about it, and the LA news station interviewed, I think it was a former Secretary of State or Secretary of War, and he was saying, yeah, you know, we have the capacity to fire these from submarines, so it could have just fired from any submarine. It was probably the Navy, you know, or the Coast Guard or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't think the Coast Guard would have ICBMs, but, you know, he's saying it was probably the Navy, and they just don't want to fess up to it. You know, they're just testing stuff out, because we used to, I guess this is something that the U.S. used to do, is go around Russia and fire ICBMs, test fire from subs, just to kind of show off that we can do it.
And Korea still does.
Yeah, and exactly. And so now they're doing it in the Pacific to show Korea that we can do it. You know, it's kind of the other side of the country, just to be like, yeah, we can do that. Yeah.
Yeah, see what we got? Yeah, that's what they're doing.
Yeah, look at our new toy. So, I don't know. I think it's some scary stuff. Kind of I don't know, like a mine is bigger than yours kind of a thing. But
yeah.
I don't know. So yeah, I thought I wanted to mention that, because I thought that was kind of crazy. It's like a scary pre-war kind of a thing. But yeah,
yeah. Hopefully in the next one. Yeah, if you see one on the coast, you know, I guess I wouldn't be too concerned. If I see one where I'm at, then I'm really concerned, because that means, oh well, yeah, this has to be real. I guess I don't know where else it would go.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't have any water to land in, or
yeah. Oh, and you know what? In regards to that, in some way, so good. I was going to mention, you know, one thing. Just a reminder: if you guys did dress up for Halloween, something that was post-apocalyptic style, be sure to send us in your pictures. And I actually wanted to share one with you guys. I myself did dress up in the costume, and it's funny enough, Sean actually is waiting until this very moment to peek at this.
Yeah.
It's I actually have it on. I'm going to do some better ones because the ones I was taking were kind of at night. But on my Facebook page, and those of you who aren't linked to me on Facebook, you know, you're more than welcome to link to me. It's just Jonathan Morris, of course. So, and yeah, just look for the picture I'm about to describe. But yeah, Sean's going to log on right now, and you are going to see my costume, and Sean will describe what he's seeing.
Let me check this out. This is almost like when you saw my costume. It's like
the same. It's like a reverse.
Yeah, Facebook. Oh, it's the one in your icon there? Oh,
yep.
Let me click on a bigger image of this. Oh, man, that is cool. Okay.
We went all out.
So let me describe it. Okay, so you are a vault dweller. Am I right? Like, you have the...
Uh-huh.
Holy crap, where'd you get that Pip-Boy? That is awesome. Like, you have a Pip-Boy on your arm, you have the blue vault dweller suit, you have one shoulder pad... And you have a shotgun.
Yes, how I did it.
You have a mean look on your face too. It's like
it's funny. We just see the full pics because, like, what I had literally done. It's not your typical like dude dresses up with you know overnight costume that looks ridiculous, but haha, it's there. It says 101 on it or whatever. Like on mine, it was a little jumpsuit that we adapted. Like my wife's father worked in the oil field, so he had these jumpsuits, and it just happened to be the right color. And my wife, who's Cinderella as far as the sewing is concerned, added the yellow trim, added the 13 on the collar and on the back, and then. We went buck wild. We had the shoulder pads and the belt across, and then the shotgun, and then I have, actually you can't see, but I've got like the combat boots on, and I mean, Pip-Boy, actually that worked out beautifully. That was the Pip-Boy, the one that came as a clock with the original Survivor edition. And what I did was I just, printed out, a screenshot of the real Pip-Boy on your arm and then pasted it on there. But, that's just a little precursor. I've actually got a friend who does pictures professionally, and she's going to help me out because where I live, it's just too priceless of some of these locations where I live to not try to do this because, like, where I live in the border of, Utah and Nevada, it looks like Fallout 3. So, well, that and the fact that Fallout Vegas, half those locations really are there, so I might as well go do that, Stand on Hoover Dam with a shotgun, even. That's grounds for being
friends. Yeah, it's been nice knowing you.
Are you NCR? Are you NCR? Oh. But, so those of you who haven't seen it, jump on, I know a lot of you are linked to me through Facebook, and, those of you who aren't, you're welcome to do so. I'll be sure to post the others. Oh, the other thing, too, is I'll probably post it on the actual website as well, where you'll probably see us throw little tidbits as things go on that we're doing, as time goes on. So.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I want to see more of this, the different angles and everything. So this is what you wore for Halloween?
This is my Halloween costume, and I actually did take a couple pictures from different angles, so I'll throw them on there as well.
Cool.
And then you'll get to see how we're kind of in fact I have this theory of how we can make this work where your costume can even play into it.
Oh,
where
nice.
It doesn't take a lot to green screen somebody in, so it's too perfect to not somehow figure out a way to make your costume work alongside somehow mine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Too perfect.
Yeah. That would be funny.
We'll have to figure that out. We'll have to see how that goes.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, I like that a lot. That's a really cool costume. I've seen I saw someone dressed as a vault dweller one time at Dragon Con, and it was kind of similar, but it was just I think he just painted the numbers on and everything. And this, like, you can tell, the sewn on yellow stripes and everything. I mean, your wife really did a good job there.
Well, and she even added, like, originally it was just the jumpsuit, but if you look at the actual texture on the real vault suit, you see there's this kind of like a seam going across and up from the side, and I actually showed my wife how the seams, the funny thing was, and this is hysterical, I actually printed out the texture map, because what a better way to look at how it's designed. And so she mimicked the texture map and put seams across to match up where the seams would really be on the real vault suit.
Oh, wow.
It turned out hysterical. Like, even I've got the D-pads and the shoulder pad and the shotgun and you can't tell in that pic, but there's another pic where I'm holding a 9mm handgun and, wait till you see the stuff I've got planned for the next one. Cause, my favorite is the laser rifle. Wait till you see what I do in the next one.
Yeah,
I have some funny stuff planned that it's too perfect to not do it.
Nice. That's cool.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's a good job. I like that. Yeah, man, we are we're becoming like a costume podcast.
We're like reenactors.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty cool. Awesome. Well, cool. I guess, I mean, we don't really have anything else on this show. Next week, actually, I'm going to be gone, although we record the week after. I don't know if I'll – we'll probably be a little bit late on it, but I'm going to Korea next week, which so if the end of the world happens, I'll be in Korea.
Did you say you're going to Korea?
Yeah, yeah, for a game convention called G-Star. It's going to be – yeah, it's going to be pretty crazy. It's my first time, actually. So
wow, yeah, and it's yeah. This is interesting. I didn't realize when you say it like that, it's almost like what?
Yeah, it's not Korea, Ohio, or anything. It's Korea.
Yeah, like Korea, North Dakota. I don't know. It's like wow. Have you been overseas that far?
No, I've never even left the country before.
That's quite the the jump over there. Because quite the plane ride too. I might add.
Oh. My plane ride will be 24 hours total, and that's with layovers and everything. But the flight from actually I'm going to Detroit, and the flight from Detroit to Tokyo will be 13 and a half hours.
Wow!
So it's gonna be it's gonna be insane.
Yeah, that's gonna be crazy. That's interesting.
But yeah, it'll be a game convention. We'll get to kind of talk about a lot of the Korean upcoming games and everything. So I'm really excited. So
yeah, you'll have to tell us how that plays out.
Yeah, because I should be getting back just in time to record the next show. Like I said, though, it might be a little late. It might be a couple days later because I'll be getting back like Tuesday. But, yeah, I can definitely talk about that.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Hopefully nothing post-apocalyptic happens to where I'll have to talk about that. But
oh, yeah, no, that's true. Then the show would be 28 days later. Oh, that's just what it's I can't believe I had the guts to say
the
that.
Guts
yeesh.
All right, well, cool. So I guess we'll talk to everyone again in about 2 weeks. And if you want to send us an email, send it to ttaftermath@gmail.com. And you can also check out our Twitter and Facebook pages, which are linked on the show notes, which are found at throughtheaftermath.blogspot.com. And, all the show notes are there and the links and everything. Everything we've talked about and mentioned on the show is right there, as well as the last 40 shows that we've done before this. So that's definitely where you want to start out, especially if you're new to the show. So, but I guess that's about it. So until next time, this is Sean.
And this is Jonathan saying, stay dead out there. And you'll have to shoot him in the head to do that.
I can't believe you had the guts to say that.
I can't believe I did either. That was really it. This is the worst pun show ever.